I just remember, 15 years ago when I walked through the doors of Adult and Teen Challenge myself. And so I always share, I love the ministry. I love to hear the testimonies of men and women, because how many of us know that there might be things that we differ in theologically, but nobody can tell me what God has done in my life. And testimony is so critical and important to us in our walk with Christ. God has commanded us. And when we know, as John said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death. So how many of us are ready to die today? Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Chris, I know I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you, brother. And I thank God for that. So if you would please this morning, turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 11 through 16. And when you get there, please stand for the reading of the word of God. We stand in honor of the reading of the word of God. And so thus declares the word of God. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you are at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Jesus Christ, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in the ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Father, we're grateful and thankful to and for you for another day and the privilege and the honor, Lord, to hear your word. God, I pray that it would pierce the hardness of our hearts, God, and that it would fall upon the good soil. And Lord, that it would bear much fruit for your name's sake. Lord, we exalt you in all things and count it thankful for the privilege and the honor to call ourselves sons of the living God. We thank you so much for what you do, but mostly for who you are. And we offer all of this up to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. And amen. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And so I spoke with Pastor Jerome and shared with him what I wanted to share, what I believe the Lord has laid upon my heart to share with you this morning. And he asked me a question, and I came back with the answer. And then he said, okay, go ahead. So thank you, brother. And so the title of my thought this morning is Unity in Christ. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Unity in Christ. And so when we consider where we are right now and the culture that we're living in, there's a lot that's happening in the public square. And even in what is called the church, there's a lot of things that are going on. And there are some conversations that really need to happen. And what's not happening is breeding division and separation. People are not willing to sit down and to hear each other. We're living in a time where we can see that if something doesn't change, the nation as we know it is headed for destruction and for failure. See, the question that we really need to ask ourselves, saints, is not what makes us different, but what makes us the same. You see, the enemy has been using the tool of divisiveness. We can flip back to Genesis chapter 4. And when we look at Cain and Abel, it was the difference that Cain thought that he had from Abel that brought in the sin of murder. And so when we look at this construct called racism, we need to know and understand, and of course, obviously, I'm speaking to you as a black man. We need to know and understand that it is a false construct. Racism is defined as a belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits and capacities, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. Know this, and PC, I know you're a historian. That word racism, when you look at the history of the word, it's a relatively new word. It just came on the scene in the 20th century. So we need to know and understand that it's part of the enemy's scheme in order to bring division. He wants to try to divide and to conquer. And so when we look at our text this morning, what can we learn as the body of Christ from what Paul is sharing with the church at Ephesus? One thing that we do know is when he opens up this letter, it's a letter of encouragement to the body of Christ to live a life according to him whom has saved us. We know that for all of us, when we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, there's a place that God captured our hearts, and that was a place of desperation and debauchery. Christ came and he says that he saved me by grace, amen, through faith. And so we were all in that place where we walked according to the tenets of the world. But he's reminding us of that truth that God has done so great a work in us. And God, I thank God that God is no respecter of persons. That God chose to use the base things of the world to confound the wisdom of the world. And so when we're looking at this text, it's important for us to know and to understand always what came before what it is that Paul was talking about. And so when we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, what we can see there is a concise, fundamental teaching of the message of the gospel of salvation. So Paul is bringing us back to that place. And I know that that is a message that I need to hear daily. I need to be reminded, because the flesh would so easily want to take ownership of things that only belong to God. And so I need to preach the gospel to myself to remind me how inept and ill-equipped I am to do anything apart from Jesus Christ. Amen. The redeeming power of Jesus. Listen, when you hear the testimonies, and we all have testimony, and as I shared, God pulled me out of a life of drugs and alcohol and illicit sex and all of that stuff. But when Jesus came into my life, there was a transformation that occurred that nothing else could accomplish in my life. The love of my mother, the love of my father, the love of people who wanted to see me achieve. Even one thing I always share, Pastor Jerome, is how I got to this place was that I had hopes. I had dreams. I had aspirations. And my desire to want to accomplish those things and the work that I put in order to make those things a reality led me to need Teen Challenge. That was the best that I could do on my own. And when I walked through the doors of Teen Challenge, I knew I had come to one realization, that I was incapable of making good decisions. And so I said, I'm going to allow these people to tell me what to do for 12 months, because I don't know how to do this. And what I found out in the interim is I need somebody to tell me what to do for the rest of my life. And that person is Jesus Christ. And so we need to be reminded of that. And Paul is reminding those Gentile believers in the church at Ephesus. He tells them in verses 11 and 12, therefore, remember that at one time you were Gentiles. Remember that you were alienated from the commonwealth of Jesus and strangers to the promises of God. And so when we look at that portion of scripture and we think about that, remember this, saints. It was Jesus Christ who came to atone for your sins. There's nothing that I can do that would warrant the love of God, because it's all been done in Jesus Christ. It's a finished work. And all God desires for us is to place our faith and trust in him. Now, we know that there was a struggle that was going on, and this is why Paul is encouraging them. There was a struggle between the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers. And so Paul is encouraging those Gentile believers, be encouraged, because the same God who met them is now the same God who is meeting you. And that it was Christ who came to abolish that wall of separation. And when we look at that wall of separation, we need to know that that was a construct that was made by the hands of man. And by the same token, when we look at issues of racism, it's a construct that is made by man. And so God has called us as the body of believers to look beyond the trickery and the wiles of the enemy, so that we can be representative of whom God has ordained us to be. You see, there's something that's attractive when people can see a love that should prevail in the body of Christ. When you think back and you thumb through the book of Acts and you see thousands of people coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. When you look back in the first century church, when Nero was persecuting Christians, throwing them, being fed to lions, burning things down, but people were still coming because of the love that people had one for another. Right. We all want to be loved. We all want to belong. And so when the world sees the reality that God has established in his kingdom, that regardless of what our differences may be, that love prevails in every circumstance, then the revelation of Jesus Christ will go out to a lost and a broken world. And so Paul says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, and he has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Amen. So what can we know about what Christ has done? And Paul just makes it plain. And so what that shares with us, saints, is that anything that tries to separate me from you is not God. Because the Godhead is unified. Right. So even as believers, we can look at denominational lines, theological differences, but here's one thing that we can know. That's all flesh. Because Christ is unified. And so anything at all that tries to separate us, we must see it for what it is. It's a lie from the pit of hell. We need to look at the truth of the Word of God and allow the Word of God to be our filter in everything that we're doing. See, the natural self will confirm and verify the lie. It will be the truth of God's Word, the revelation of that truth, which will expose the lie for what it is. John 17, 17. Jesus praying and asking God that he would sanctify us by his truth. His word is truth. So saints, as I've heard it said, for us, we've got to get out of Facebook and get our face in the book. We need to know that the body of believers, there was a revelation that I got, and God said, we need to stop bringing our situations to the Word of God and bring the Word of God to our situation. Let me say that again. We need to stop bringing our situations to the Word of God and bring the Word of God to our situation. See, because when we bring our situations to the Word of God, we're on the defense. But when we bring the Word of God to the situation, that's an offensive move. And God has given us power and authority, and we need to operate in that which God has ordained for us according to the truth of His Word. And so when we look at this accusation from the enemy, this trickery. And since I'm not here to say, and I'm not telling you that there are things that don't exist, I'm not negating that. Is there work that needs to be done? Absolutely. Are there some things that need to change? No doubt. But here's one thing that we can know. When we start talking about this thing called race, again, we need to go back in the book. Somewhere I read God created man and woman, Adam and Eve. And from them came me. So when we think about it, there is only one race. I heard a brother, Dr. Vodi Bakum, he was sharing, and he said that he had gotten some letters from some people, and they were asking him the question. Dr. Vodi Bakum is African American. And so they asked him the question, if your daughter brought home someone from a different race, would you accept that? His answer was, absolutely not. He must be human. Amen? When we talk about the differentiations, we're really not talking about race. We're talking about ethnicity and cultural differences. And I can share with you that if you took a young African-American man from the streets of Harlem and put him together with a young man from the bayou in Louisiana, probably the only thing that they would have in common would be the color of their skin. So this lumping together of putting people together Again, it's a false construct. And I know, personally, I've been to both ends of the spectrum. I've been to, grew up, I'm a kid from the suburbs in Long Island. I went to a high school that there were 1,300 students in my high school with 35 blacks. And then my first year in college, I went to Morehouse College, where there was one white person on campus, and he was there on a football scholarship. And so to see the differences, it was amazing. But what it showed me was it wasn't about race, but it really is about culture and ethnicity. Because when the world begins to show things, they always show a narrative that they want to put forward. See, when I went to Morehouse College as a freshman, Dexter King was a junior that year, Martin Luther King's son. Maynard Jackson, who was the first mayor, black mayor of Atlanta, his nephew I went to school with. There was a guy on my floor from Seattle. They called him Steak Daddy because when he was a young boy, his maid, he requested that she would cook for him breakfast every day of steak and eggs, and that's what his maid would prepare for him. So I got an opportunity to see part of the African-American culture that you really are not told about. So I just say that to say that it's important for us to really know and understand as the body what it is that we're being told. And then there's this other thing that, Pastor Jerome, it really makes me scratch my head. I hear these terms, white church and black church, and it makes me scratch my head. I have to think, like, what does that mean? Because when I read my Bible, it doesn't talk about white church, black church. It just talks about the church. And again, I'm not trying to deny the past or any inconsistencies in the present, but let's look at the reality of the truth of the word of the living God. And so Paul tells us in verse 15 and 16, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in the ordinances, that he might create in himself one man in the place of two, and so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing hostility. Saints, it's the cross of Jesus Christ that is the solution to racism. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that breaks separation and brings unity. And saints, all of that is ours in Jesus Christ. And so when we come to the realization of who we are and the truth about what God has done in Jesus Christ for us, I don't know, man, sometimes I'm just sitting and thinking, and Pastor Chris, I'm in identity right now. And so, man, it just blows my mind when I sit and think about the reality of the truth that it is Christ in me, the hope of glory. That in the intention and the purpose of God, that God has decided to take up residence within you. Maybe it's just me. God has made a decision. The God who created all decided to take up residence in you. Praise God. And so when we're looking for answers to those kinds of questions, listen, saints, there's only one place that we can go. We know that Tuesday is going to be a big day in our nation, but that's not the solution. Right. because that can't be legislated. You can't force someone. You can create laws to try to control people, but you can't change a person's heart with legislation. The way that people think, that doesn't change by legislation. It's something that's cultivated through our experience. And we know it. For those of you who have children, listen, if you take a little 3-year-old white kid and a little 3-year-old black kid and you put them in a room with a ball, they're not going to say, well, I can't play with you because you're different. They're going to look at the ball and say, come on, let's play. And so we need to look at the truth of God's word and know that we are one in Jesus Christ. The pettiness of our differences, and baby, stand up. Hallelujah. This is my beautiful wife. Hallelujah. So when we're at home, we go at it. She's an Italian raised in Brooklyn. And so you know what all that means. But at the end of the day, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we can talk through what we may think to be different. But one thing that is the same and always the same is the knowledge that Jesus Christ has saved us and that we're one in him. And so I just want to finish up with this. Even though we may have differences in ethnicity, even though we may have difference in language, we may be different in the color of our skin. Our socioeconomic status may be different. Education may be different. Anything else, it may be different. There is one thing that unites us that keeps us the same, and that is Jesus Christ. We are all brothers and sisters, members of the same body. God has chosen to adopt us into his family. And what a glorious truth that is. Christ came to break down the wall of hostility. And any barrier that the enemy has erected to keep us apart. And so when you think about racism, know this. It's a gospel issue. The only thing that will ever bring real and substantial change to a life is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.